Welcome to Parent Pod. I'm Sarah Bonowski with Sean Dunn, and we are talking about a very serious subject today. We're talking about cybersecurity and all the different aspects of that. I think it's something that all parents, all kids need to be aware of. It's kind of like a new frontier, unfortunately, for predators and problems. The New York Times recently published a front page article about children playing games like Fortnite and becoming targets for sexual predators and for people who are blackmailing them. It's terrifying for a lot of us as parents. This is not familiar ground for me. Sean, I don't know if it's familiar ground for you.
Having younger ones, they're not as much in the gaming online stuff, but, you know, they're on
it's something
Kindles
you need to
or
know,
iPad,
yeah.
So you never know, really.
And this is something that we really grew up with. This was not an era that we grew up with, and so it is something we need to be knowledgeable about as parents. And fortunately, we're joined today by Fred Abley from Penn State Scranton. Thank you so much for being with us.
No, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
I want to get right into this because there's so much to talk about when it comes to cybersecurity. What do we need to know as parents to keep our kids safe?
I think one of the big things is just, you know, depending on their age, you know, there's different things you could do. So for the first off is you want to make sure whatever you're doing for the younger people, you're kind of like setting the right example. So, you know, you can't tell a kid not to be online when you're standing there in the kitchen with your phone in your hand.
Right.
So you always want to be modeling the right things. But then as you kind of move forward and the kids get older, you also want to make sure that you're also managing it. So, you know, you're going to see them get online. It's growing. It's everywhere, right? So you said something really interesting. I'm a child of the 80s, so we grew up with the computer and the video game as more of a diversion, not as a mainstay.
Right.
So now here we are, you know, in the millennium, 2020, right? The year of vision and clarity.
Mm-hmm.
We see them everywhere. So it's become something that is going to be part of their lives. And you really can't just say, oh, they're not going to do it because
right.
It's in school. It's at churches now, right? So there, people are putting Bibles on tablets. So it is everywhere in that sense. So you want to make sure you can manage it. But then the last thing, I guess, is, so what do you do when they're 12, 13, 14, up to 18? Then that's when you have to monitor it. And you have to figure out, as a parent, where do you intervene? And so there's so many great ways you could do that, and there's a lot of good resources for that, but you have to use your own parenting skills at that point. The one thing, though, that I think you have to really show some caution towards as a parent is, oh, my child will never do that. Or my child's not that way. So when you go out to read the FBI reports, one of the things that they stress is this is affecting everybody. So they could be the star in the classroom, straight A student. They could be the rock star athlete, young athlete, or they could be the tech geek. And I say that in a kind way because I'm a geek. But you know, the thing is, they're all not. No one's immune to it. So you have to make sure you're monitoring these things and asking those tough questions and being the parent, not so much the friend all the time. But with that being said, too, and I think this kind of gets ahead of it a little bit, but you always have to make sure that you're available as that resource, because there's no silver bullet to stopping any of this. You can't turn it off. You can't block everything. But you have to always make sure that the young person, whether it's your child or a niece, a nephew, a granddaughter, a grandson, that you're an adult, and that's who they should turn to when this happens. That's the number one thing, is that they know they can turn to an adult.
Right. And if they have questions, too.
Exactly.
So when we're talking about cybersecurity, for people who might be a little confused, it's a broad term. We're talking about, like, emailing. We're talking about texting. We're talking about all kinds of devices, your laptops, your tablets, your smartphones, all of those things. Gaming.
Game consoles, yes.
And that's huge, obviously, the gaming consoles. So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about cybersecurity, right? So it does include email. So, like, what kind of things should we teach our kids when it comes to emailing, texting? You know, is it just basically saying, hey, stranger danger, don't email personal information, don't text personal information or pictures or videos?
Exactly. That's the simple guideline, is don't put something out there that's personally identifiable. You know, ask those questions to yourself in a way. And this is harder for a kid, but a parent can always, you know, subtly plant these seeds. You know, why are they asking that? When do they ask you that? And why are they what do they think they're going to do with it? So, yeah, you could always tell that. Email is an interesting thing, too, because even adults right now, we're struggling with these phishing schemes where
right.
people are sending these emails that look legitimate, and they're getting better and better, because that all falls under another category called social engineering. Social engineering, there are people who are very adept in studying your environment and then crafting a specialized email just for you. So you have to really be on your guard. The best thing with that is always when you look at those links in those emails, you know, hover over it. And if it looks like a very cryptic email, crazy address in the URL, the web address, don't click it. But for a young person, that's a tough one, right? Because they get emails now. They're getting emails from their schools. They're getting emails from teachers and so on, the older kids. But yeah, don't click on those links.
Okay. And so for Sean, for example, you mentioned you have younger daughters. But the thing is that these kids are growing up in this era, and they know so much more than we do. At least in my household, I can't operate my smart TV, my phone, my computer. I certainly have no idea how to use any of our gaming systems. My kids all do. So when you do have younger kids, teaching those habits as they get older is really important, I assume.
It is. It is. And, you know, you said something also that's really important. So you go to the restaurants, you go to the movies, or not the movies, but you go to these places and you always see these kids with these devices in their hands. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a deterrent from interacting with people.
Right.
That's a whole other topic we can get into, social skills.
Yep.
But the thing is, with the video games, so a real quick story. My son grew up in the era of the advent of Call of Duty, which is a first-person shooter type game. Mm-hmm. I'm a former Marine. I spent 12 years in the Marine Corps, and I get the violence. I appreciated those games, actually, because they are very realistic. And from the weapon descriptions to the locations, very interesting to me as an adult. Well, of course, my son's playing these games. Well, his friends are playing these games, and I wouldn't allow it. Had a long conversation with a good friend of mine, we talked about this. And he was like, well, here's what I do. I play the game with him. So that's the first thing you should do when they get these games and they download these games. Spend time playing with them, whether it's 5 minutes or 50 minutes. You might even like it. So But you at least get to see the interactions. The thing that worried me the most when I started to do that with my son was features that I thought I could turn off, I did, but they didn't get turned off. So language things. I was really surprised with that. I'm not going to say the vendor. I'm not going to say who that was. But those are the things you want to watch out. When I saw that, I immediately contacted them. And they said there's an update coming, blah, blah, blah. But it was one of those things where there's all kinds of foul language going on. And I thought I'd turn that feature off. That's what parents are supposed to be doing. Kids don't – they're not going to stop that. They're not going to even look for that.
Right.
But sit down, play with the game. The other thing, too, is maybe also if it's a – well, games are all streamed now. It used to be cartridges and DVDs. I would always say that we would take the game out together. We would play it together. I would put it away. Not lock it up anywhere, but we would – and that became the norm. That's how you play these video games at that age. So that was the age between probably 9 and 12. And as he got older, he started to understand this is how you behave. And that's the real key. You are setting a norm. And I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a sociologist. But you have to create that norm of what is acceptable. And that's where a parent has to come in and play that role.
I have found as a parent, because I have – my oldest son is 12 years old. And so I'm entering this era of the gaming systems and things like that. And, Sean, you mentioned too, like your girls have a tablet, and they use the tablet, and they probably use it in front of you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have tried to keep it so that I can have the gaming going on in an area that's public so I can see what's going on. And I haven't been good about that. I've never played Fortnite. And quite honestly, when they mention certain game names, I don't know what they're talking about, and I know that I need to be – educated as a parent, I need to know what they're talking about when they talk about these games. It's so hard. There's so many, and there's a new one every day. Yeah. And I also have a hard time because my boys will wear headsets, and I don't know what's being said. And my concern isn't my kids so much as what are they hearing? Who's communicating with them?
Exactly.
And I did say to them initially, you can only play with people that you know. I don't want you playing with strangers.
Yes.
Because that's
the problem.
I get really concerned in terms of what are they saying? What are they messaging my kids? What kind of language are they using? And I'm trying to maintain that control, and it's like water through my fingers. I just can't do it.
Yeah, and you know, so I grew up in the 70s and the 80s, and I grew up here locally, and some people may remember the Freech and Keene boys. So the Freech and Keene boys used to have a baseball field not too far from the studio here. That's no longer there. It's where the Wendy's is on Davis Street. The Freech and Keene boys never made it home.
Right.
So at that point, they were abducted, and I believe they were murdered. But at that point, I think that's what ushered in the whole phrase, the three phrases, don't talk to strangers, don't take candy from strangers, and don't get in the cars with strangers. But then I think as we moved along, we thought we got smarter as a society, I suppose, or we just got lax in that area because we had other issues we were dealing with as a society. And then all of a sudden, the advent of the internet came along, and we forgot to teach that lesson. And that's the lesson that needs to come back. But now it's don't chat with strangers, don't send photos to strangers, don't send videos to strangers. And even if they are appearing as somebody that's close to your age, you need to verify that in some way. And that's where the parent can come in and check, because you can look up some of the information. What a lot of young people don't realize when I speak to them about cyberbullying, internet safety, netiquette, is the persistence of everything. So they don't understand the internet is this massive connection. And it's connected not even just through your game, but to, then they could take your name and they could look up where you live. They could see where you go to school. And that's where the bad things start to evolve from. But then also they don't understand when stuff goes out there. It stays out there.
Right.
So they have to watch what they're putting out there. They have to put out these pictures. And that's where in the articles that we were referring to before, there's those coercive techniques. Where they trick kids is by saying, I want to just take a picture of you. And then they'll say something to the effect of, I have your picture, and I've modified it to make it look like you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, and I'm going to tell it to your parents. And then that's when immediately the wall goes up, and they feel like they have to hide something. And that's where you have to always keep that open line of communication going, right. Saying, tell me everything that goes on. I will never hold you accountable for that. It's not your fault. Kids sometimes don't understand that. And the way the world is today, you know, a lot of kids, they don't want to be open in that sense, oddly enough. So right. Those are things you need to be doing.
And that's we were talking about that, but there are warnings from the FBI. And really, it's not – there are kids as young as 8, 6, 7 in some of these reports who are victims of crimes mm-hmm. like this. And that's – it's so disturbing. And again, as you mentioned, you think that your child is smarter than that. My child is smarter than that. They would never get sucked into mm-hmm. that. But –
happens to everybody.
It happens. It can happen easily. It can yeah. happen to everybody, no matter how mature you think your kid is or how much you think you've talked to them about that. So what do you think we should do? Should we limit our kids' access to these things? Should we keep them public? How do we, I mean, what should we do?
You have to be a parent. You know, I think that's the first and foremost thing. And that's where, like I said, I was telling you a story about my son. We chose not to let him play that game. The problem was when he went to his friend's house, he would play the game at the friend's
right,
house.
Right, right, right.
So, yeah, parents have a responsibility to limit that. And I have three children. They're, mid-20s and college age now. But cell phones stayed in the kitchen, first and primary. Like, all devices stayed in the kitchen. That's where they charged. They didn't go to the bedroom. And then you kept there. As far as limits go, that's a great incentive, right? Because now you could say, hey, you could, these are your chores. Do your chores. You could have extra screen time. There's apps that'll help you manage that, too. And that's where I think it also gets overwhelming for parents. Is how do I manage this? Where do I manage this?
Right.
I just switched. I'm a techie, right? So I just switched from an Android phone to an iPhone. I'm overwhelmed by the iPhone. So I get it. I totally get it. But you do have to just do your homework as a parent. There's plenty of resources out there. But limits are really, really key. And you can control that. And even if you look at some of the commercial products that are out there, there's some commercial vendors that are saying you can shut your house down and lock it down if you want. And that's the route you need to be thinking of going. And it has nothing really to do with trust. It has more to do with you keeping out some of the bad stuff that's really hammering to get in. And it is hammering away at people. So that's the thing I would do is limits, big time.
So I mentioned this New York Times article, and we have all these studies from the FBI and things like that. And Sean, you read some of them too. I know your daughters are younger, but have you and your wife thought about that? Have thought about putting those things into place or trying to keep that stuff out? It's so pervasive.
It's funny because due to cost, because they're younger, and if they're going to smash them, I'd rather them smash a Kindle that's $50 than a multi-$100 iPad. So they both have Kindles, and we do use the free time, which has a parent dashboard where you can set limits on, how long they can be on the internet, how long they can use specific apps. So that's something you could subscribe through Amazon, and so they have those limits in place. And I have looked into as much as my router allows it, but there are products, I think it's called Cube, mm-hmm. That I think it's actually a Disney product that you attach to your router that you can choose specific devices that connect to your Wi-Fi. And at a certain time, you can have it so that those devices no longer connect at all until, the following morning or whatever. So, but like you said, I work with technology quite a bit.
Yeah,
so for me,
this
was not so difficult for me to set up, for
sure.
me to wrap my head around. Yeah. But even though these things are available and for me seem to be easy to use, I'm sure there are plenty of parents who are like, I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, that's my next question, Fred. And that was that's an awesome segue, Sean, because that's the thing is we're talking about it and you guys are very knowledgeable. How many parents out there do you think are pretty ignorant about, not ignorant, that's not the word I want to use, but maybe in the dark about the technology that's accessible to them, that's available to them, and how they can go find it? Sometimes people feel like they're way in over their heads or they have no idea what their kids are saying. I don't even know the language they're using half the time. So how can I take that step to get informed about how to be a better parent, how to stay on top of this stuff, how to know what the latest stuff is?
I mean, it could easily be done with a simple search, starting right there, and you know, using the keywords of cybersecurity, cyber safety, child cyber safety, cyber bullying. They all end up taking you to some pretty reputable sources that are, you know, you can get to those resources. The one thing too you could also consider, I mean, once I don't want to plug a vendor once again, but you know, you can reach out to the local Best Buy or Staples, to the Geek Squad or the tech support people, or even a local school or university. There's always going to be people there that you can ask a question, and they can even point you to that next direction. I think that's what you have to do, is you have to reach out, and you do have to ask those questions, because as we were discussing beforehand, this stuff is changing rapidly,
right?
And that's been going on now since 2007, but it's going to continue to roll like that. So you have to, you know, teach some good norms in the home. And that is a hard thing too. Like, even as a techie, we all slide back and we'll say, oh, they'll be fine with it. But then you find out that it wasn't fine. And you want to make sure you're always planting that seed in there, you know, you should be doing this, you shouldn't be doing that, you should be doing this, you shouldn't be doing that. Almost like a broken record. Mm-hmm. If people know what a broken record is anyway. But,
right.
But the thing is, like, that's where you want to be repetitive in that, because kids need that. Adults need that too. But I think that's one of the best things you could do, is reach out to the local resources, whether it's a commercial resource or just go and do a straight Google search, and then kind of walking your way through that, because they are making themselves available. The FBI is available through tip lines. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children is also there, but they have resources to help you get through some of those transitional periods of technology.
Right, and we've been talking about the FBI. We've been talking about these really worst case scenarios that are, I mean, terrifying. Missing children who are lured away from their homes, children who get involved in sextortion with the pictures and the videos and things like that online. And it seems like people who might be listening might think, oh, I mean, that's extreme. That never happens. The numbers are out there, mm-hmm. and they're frightening.
And they're growing, right? And I don't know if it's because of the fact that people are now reporting it, and they're investigating more, you know, diligently. But according to some of my resources, that it is growing, and it has a lot to do with the platforms that are becoming more available to people in their homes. They're becoming cheaper. They're becoming more widespread, and then now there's groups of people, these wolf packs, some of them are referred to as, they're sharing information now through their own private communities on how to prey on kids. So there are law enforcement is working hard to be there, but I think it's like any type of security. There is never, as I said before, there's never a silver bullet. It's always a layered approach. And so it has to start with the parents. It has to start with the schools have to be involved. Families, like as the extended family too, you know, the grandparents should also be involved. I can remember a story a little while ago. I had a student of mine who was working at a local video game store. And, you know, the one boy came in the one time and he wanted to buy one of these mature rated titles. Now, the mature ratings at one point were just the guidance. Today, now, when they're being bought or downloaded, you're supposed to produce some kind of verification of age. But this one young boy came in there with his parents. His parents saw the rating on it. And the person at the desk, or the parents said, no, you're not going to get it. A couple days later, he shows back up with the grandparents.
Oh, no.
And the grandparents bought it for him.
Oh, dear.
Now, that was before the restrictions were put in place at the counter. But now there's counter restrictions and so on. But it just goes to show you how even the grandparents weren't aware. And that kind of talks to your point of the stuff changes so fast. Because they were probably thinking, oh, it's a video game. It's got to be fun. Oh, it has cars in it. You know, so it's going to be a good car game. Well, it was beyond a car game.
Sure.
But those are the things that are happening. You just got to keep up with it.
And that's the thing, right? Keeping up with it and trying to stay on top of it. So we have talked about the emailing. We've talked about texting. We've talked about internet safety. Cyberbullying, you've mentioned a couple of times, but that's huge too.
Yeah.
That could be a whole different subject, cyberbullying and the impact that has on kids and how parents need to be involved in that. And I think that's modeling, just in my experience, that's modeling good behavior as a parent and just social awareness in terms of what hurts, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, and the fact that this stuff doesn't disappear. It follows you home. It's 24/7. It's accessible all the time.
Yeah. Like I said, that can go into a whole other topic, but if there's one takeaway for a parent to help with that area, it just exercise being kind.
Right.
Okay. So kids can be tough, you know, and they're saying things that are hurtful. And I think when I talk to students and I remind them of that, how would you feel if somebody said that to you or did that to you? You do get an interesting response from them. They it's like a reality check. Oh, I wouldn't want that to happen. So I think if parents just continually send that message, you know, and I think most parents do, but kids are tough and the results. The one thing I'll share real quick, when I spoke recently at an elementary school about, and this is third to fifth graders, speaking about cyberbullying, talk was over. I said, thank you. It was a nice club. You know, everyone's cheering, blah, blah. Then the line forms. And I had kids from third grade and fourth grade walking up to me saying that they considered committing suicide because somebody was bullying them.
Yeah.
So you're right. When we grew up in the era of it happened at school, I walk home, I'm home, turn on the TV, do my homework, I can relax.
Right.
As soon as they lift up that device, and that goes back to device management, you know, that and the parent needs to be seeing these things. And when that does occur, parents should also understand they should take screenshots.
Okay.
That's one quick thing to remember. Keep those screenshots in. Not that you want to, you're looking to prosecute something, but you have to intervene in some way, mm-hmm. and get that to the school or the police. Call the police at that point. But the thing is, you know, practice being kind and just remind people to do that instead of being, you know, out for themselves all the time, which is what this social media environment tends to have people focus on.
Yeah, really. I think the other thing is, too, applications, different apps, TikTok, Snapchat, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Snapchat concerns me because that can go away very quickly. So that seems to be an avenue that some kids think they can use and sort of do whatever, say whatever, and it's gone in an instant. Right. What are your thoughts on those?
The danger with Snapchat is that's the attitude these kids have, right. is that, hey, this isn't permanent. They're going to see it and it's going to go away.
Exactly.
But whoever's receiving it is screenshotting it, screen recording it, and they are keeping it.
Right.
So I think that's part of the danger is the thought that these things aren't necessarily permanent and they can be.
Mm-hmm. And that's something I always talk to my students about. And remember, the internet was built to remember you. It was never meant to be – it was never built on the premise of anonymity. And everything has an address. And so we hear about another dark, dangerous area, and that's point-to-point encryption. And that's where there's a whole other discussion going on. And that's where you get into the other aspect of sexploitation and trafficking and everything like that. They're creating encrypted tunnels to create these communications, which becomes very difficult to hear from a law enforcement standpoint. So we're trying to figure out how to handle that. No application should be created to hide somebody, right?
Sure.
So, but to that point, like I always tell the students, yeah, the internet was designed to remember. And Snapchat, you have to realize you're leaving digital residue everywhere. So Snapchat, even though it's interstitial, I guess, on the device, it's crossing over servers. It's going through internet service providers. So it's leaving elements of it all over the place. So yeah, nothing is going to just fade away.
Right.
And students, when you tell them that, even they're even shocked about that. You would be surprised. I'll share this real quick. So once again, I'm a child of the 80s, grew up with disk drives and all that good stuff. I'm having a hard time explaining the difference between what is stored on a PC now and what is streamed.
Okay.
And so there's a whole – so you also have to realize as a parent, when you're talking to your young person, they don't understand anything being stored or saved now. They may have a sense of that on their phone because they're running out of storage because they use it up for photos.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
Sure.
But they're having a hard time to understand like the cloud versus non-cloud, we'll call it. And that's also an important thing for them to understand, like the difference of what you own and what you don't own.
Right.
And that leads to a whole other area that we all can benefit from learning more about, and that's data privacy.
And on that note about data privacy, there was another article I read recently about location services and how much information is out there when you have your location services on your phone or your device. What's your recommendation there when it comes to kids? I don't want anyone to know where my children are or where. So, you know, when they do get social media, we'll have that conversation about be private about where you are, be private about what you're doing, be private about your location and things like that. Don't talk about where you live. Don't talk about where we're vacationing or when we're doing it. Mm-hmm. But should we be turning our location services off? What should we be doing?
For the children, I personally believe so. You know, the argument could be made that it's great for location finding if they're in the event that they're missing and you have to find them really quick. But when you're posting a photo, if these are the older kids per se, well, you know, the kids who are on Instagram and maybe Facebook, really. Facebook's not for the older people.
Right.
So it's one of those things where that information stored in the photos and that's it all could be harvested. That's one of the things that there has been several applications that I'm glad have gone away. But there's some horrible stories where some stalking took place, where a young fellow saw this girl. He found out where she was posting her information, and what it was a website that was allowed to aggregate all the photos. And then what it was do, it painted a timeline of activity and path. And then what he did was he put himself along the path. And the way the story goes is he knew she would go to Starbucks. The one day he saw her go in, he went in behind her, and then kind of made some conversation with her and paid for her coffee. And he said, "Oh, I just want to pay it forward for you." And then he left her. and then he'd come back and a couple days later. So he started to play her, and then eventually he tried to abduct her that way. You know, he tried to attack her. But it was basically because he was picking up elements on Facebook at that time and, mm-hmm. and some other postings on blogs and so on. And this web application painted an interesting timeline for anybody to use. Now, I think the purpose of that website was probably a good idea initially, but then other people were using it for bad reasons. And that's what ends up happening with a lot of the technology is people end up using this stuff. So with the parents, I think what you have to do your due diligence and your homework. And this is a little bit challenging. Learn your security settings, especially Facebook is really, they're under the gun. So if it's a Facebook thing, go out and learn your security settings. Know who you're posting, where you're posting, who could see, who cannot see. On the phone, learn your settings, whether it's Android or iPhone, and make sure that you have the location understood. What does that mean? Who can see you, who cannot see you? I think somebody could probably listen to this podcast and they could say, oh, they'll find you no matter what. They're right. But they're going to have to be very talented too. We're talking about a lower tiered predator who probably doesn't have high end cybersecurity experience
sure.
that can pull the harder things out. So at that first layer, turn those location awareness off, I would say, and then also make sure that they're not posting personal information. They should never post phone numbers. They should never, even with their name, keep their name to themselves. But all that, keep it, learn to own that, and then kind of go from there at that point.
I think it's difficult because this is a generation of look at me, mm-hmm. sort of, where everybody is used to posting everything about their entire life. And, you know, that's who they are. It's sort of they build an identity. They're used to building an identity on social media, online. Whereas, you know, MySpace blew our minds back in the day. You know what I mean? Like, that was huge. How young would you say is too young to be using social media?
Well, there are age limits, right? So technically, those platforms are saying you have to be, I think it's 13 and above. And that's where, once again, people lie. There's no great verification of age right now on most of the platforms. So they get around it. And that's the problem. I think you have to, it's like any form of technology. You have to ask yourself, what are you going to use? What are you going to do with it? So a parent might be saying, what do you need to be on Facebook for? I remember running an exercise in my one class the one time. This was a number of years ago. And I wanted all the students to stop using their cell phones for 24 hours.
Oh, I'm sure that was the most difficult assignment they had.
I had to stop it because I realized that I had students in my class who had to pick up their brothers and sisters from the bus stops, and their brothers and sisters had cell phones. And if they broke communication, I was creating an issue.
Sure, sure.
So all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh. But you start to realize it's so pervasive. And that's where it goes back to those rules. It is almost like a no-tech solution. We have to ingrain the basics of how to behave. And then continue to reiterate that over time. I hate to say it that way as a techie, but that's, I think, part of the solution.
Yeah. Fred, you talked about these different resources that people can have and simply just, you know, searching on the internet mm-hmm. for cybersecurity tips and things like that if you want more information. I also want to give the names of these websites that you sent me. One of them is stopbullying.gov. Mm-hmm. You also have netsmarts.org. It's netsmarts.org. And staysafeonline.org. Good resources for parents and for kids.
And teachers. Yeah, the NetSmarts one is phenomenal because it provides you with a number of resources that you as a parent or as an organizational leader or a teacher, you could take right in. They're there for that. Their PowerPoints, their videos, and so on. It's some of the materials that I've used, and I've kind of evolved them a little bit. And those are great starting points, and you need to be doing it. The FBI one on there, too, is also the cyberbullying one. They provide materials for posters and trifold brochures, and everything is out there. And it's just a matter of it's awareness now, putting it out there, and then ultimately letting kids know it's okay to come forward and let us know. It's not your fault because somebody's coming at you cyberbullying or as a predator.
Okay. And to just go over those three golden rules again, you know, when we were young, it was don't take candy from strangers, don't talk to strangers, whatever. Now it's, you know, don't chat with strangers, make sure that you don't share pictures or videos, and know that your parents are there to help, know that your family is there to help, that you can and should talk about things. Mm-hmm. I try to tell my kids, if anyone ever tries to tell you to keep something secret, specifically if it's an adult or if it's a stranger, that's not something worth keeping. Something is wrong with that.
Correct.
And I also tell them that adults, we call them tricky adults, but adults will never go to children for help. So if someone's asking you for something or someone is saying, you know, we need to keep this between us, mm-hmm. they're tricking you because adults will go to other adults for help. They don't seek out help from children. So anything that you wanted to add to that or any takeaway for people?
I think, like we were saying all along, is as a parent, you have to be a parent. And that means, you know, some work that gets into learning some new things, and that's not an easy thing to do. But also always setting the right example, too. I think that's a huge thing these days, and we see it more and more. I know we have all seen it at the restaurants where everybody's staring at their phone, you know. But I think just put it down. It can't be that critical that it has to take away you from everybody else. And also, the one thing, too, with the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children website, the NCMEC site, there is a great one-sheeter out there, and it talks about the coercion. What is it like? And I know I put it up on that blog that I sent you. Take a look at, as a parent, you should take a look at those, because you might be surprised as to some of the techniques. Now, somebody said, you're putting information out there that somebody else can then learn from. I said, I think they've already figured that out.
Right.
They're already in the mode of being a predator. We need to be better armed as parents and as teachers and family members, so we can be more mindful of that, because it's on the surface, it's a wonderful experience. The internet is a great educational resource. But just like our society, internet mirrors our society. There's dark places in our society we don't want to go to. There's dark places on the internet we don't want to go to. So we have to, once again, carry all those great lessons we've learned 40, 50 years ago and then bring them back and then keep on putting them out there.
Okay. Fred, thank you so much from Sean and I both. I
mean,
yeah, been so enlightening to us, and I think has energized me to learn more. And I hope everybody listening feels the same way. Just, you know, we need to be parents. We need to be out there for our kids. We need to be available for our kids, and we need to be educated, and we need to keep doing that, because technology keeps changing every day, every minute.
And one last thing I'd like to just say real quick is, and you shouldn't hear what you're saying or what we're talking about today and be afraid.
Right.
You're getting information. It's going to arm you to go to battle with this. Using some Marine acronyms there. But I mean, that's what you're doing. It is a world where things are coming in at you, but be informed. Take the time to be informed.
Very well said. Thank you so much, Fred. We appreciate it.
Sure.
And thanks for listening to Parent Pod.